Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love the sound of revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm asking you again, how many of you are glad to be here tonight? Man, that's awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God always has a plan. He has never left without a plan. God is never caught off guard. Hallelujah. How many young people were shot today? Who was 17 were killed. A total of 29 were injured. And 12 are still alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to read right here from Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost was poured out. I'm going to start in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are we not all which speak Galileans? How we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Now that verse 8, how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. God knows how to get the message to every single person. God is not limited by the walls of an independent school district that won't allow preaching and prayer in the schools anymore. God wasn't limited then by the fact that the disciples didn't know the language of every single person that was there. And He's not limited today. I'm telling you, God's got a moving of His Spirit that will get the message of the gospel. I'm telling you, busted right into the heart of every single young person. Exploded into the heart of every single lost person. He'll go right around the naysayers, right around the ones that would mock the move of God, right around the religious people that just want to mock the power of God and say that there is no Holy Ghost, that there is no healing. God can work around all of that in a second, praise God. And there is nothing that can stop the moving of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He will make sure every single person hears the message. Hallelujah. God's never caught off guard. He's never caught in a position where He doesn't know what to do. And I'm going to tell you this too, that God is never caught in a position where He's having to figure out what to do, where He is on the back end of things. God is always more prepared than the devil is. It's like Pastor said earlier, the devil always overplays his hand. God is never in a position where He's having to play catch up. He's always out 10, 20, 30 steps ahead of the devil. The devil just puts himself out there just enough to hang himself. Just enough to make it real bad. I mean, the devil even had Jesus on the cross once, and all it did was make things real bad for the devil. He had Jesus up on the cross with nails in his hands and nails in his feet, stripes on his back. He was mocked and ridiculed. Every single person on planet Earth had turned their back on the Lord Jesus, and it looked like it was all over. And I'm telling you, it was only the beginning, praise God. Because what God was doing was exploding the power of the Spirit of God into a world back then that could never be stopped. Hallelujah. God's doing the same thing today. Hallelujah. He's exploding the power of the Spirit of God into this earth, and there is nothing that can stop the moving of the Spirit. There is nothing that can withhold what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no power. There is no political leader. There is no news media personality that would mock the move of God that can even make a dent on what the Spirit of God is doing in these days. I'm telling you, God has ways right into the middle of and in the thick of things to explode a nation by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. He has ways to make the gospel get through to where every single person hears and sees the gospel preached in power. Not only hears the gospel preached, but sees it demonstrated in mighty power. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He'll get us through. God has a plan and He knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel a shout right now because I feel like that the devil has tried to suffocate the spirit of revival across the land. He's tried to suffocate the spirit of revival and the word of God across this land, but he is not succeeding. Praise God. I'm telling you, I feel like the devil's tried to suffocate the spirit of revival by attacking people, attacking this church, but he is not succeeding. Hallelujah. I feel a shout rising up just to say, hallelujah, Lord, we rejoice in the spirit of revival. Lord, we rejoice in increase by the spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, for increase on every side. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is nothing the devil can do to slow down or stop the move of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. God is always one step ahead is laughable. He's multiple steps ahead of what the devil is trying to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 22 of Acts chapter 2, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. God's always a step ahead. The determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Hallelujah. He is always a step ahead. I'm telling you, what you're believing God for, God has not been caught off guard. What we're believing God for in the United States of America, God has not been caught off guard. According to the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God, everything is right on plate, right in place, right now in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life, according to the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God, that everything is right where it needs to be. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I declare over Calvary Cathedral that by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, that everything is right where it needs to be in the name of Jesus. That we are seeing the greatest resurrection of power and glory poured out in this house that we have ever seen in the name of Jesus. I declare right now in the name of Jesus that the greatest revival pastor has ever experienced is starting to take place right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The greatest revival the pastor has ever seen starting to take place right now in the name of Jesus. The greatest revival planet Earth had ever seen started right there on the cross with everybody having forsaken the Lord. They had ran in every single direction. Numbers had scattered. Numbers had dropped. Every kind of thing had come against the Lord Jesus. Yes. Smite the shepherd and the flock will scatter, the word says. That's what had taken place. I'm telling you, when it looked the worst, the greatest thing was taking place. Praise God. I want to tell you right now, the reason that happens is because what God is doing is so intense that the fire that he has to use to get the job done is so hot that people can't handle it and they just take off running. People couldn't handle the fire that God was putting on Jesus there on the cross. The fire that Jesus had to walk through was too intense for anybody else to handle other than the Lord. And I'm telling you, we've been walking through the fire here. But I'm telling you, God has victory on the other side of that purging fire. God has explosion in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The more intense the fire is, the greater the explosion of the Spirit of God that's going to take place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Spirit of God, for explosion in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, honey. Hallelujah. 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 Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God have you taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. I'm going to tell you right now, it is not possible for you to be holden by the pains of death. The attack that's coming against you, it is not possible for you to be held by that any longer in the name of Jesus. The attack of lack, the attack of everything that's come against the moving of the Spirit of God, the attack that has come against Calvary Cathedral, I declare in the name of Jesus, it is not possible for Calvary Cathedral to be held by that attack of death any longer. Over your life, I declare it is not possible for you to be held by sickness any longer. It is not possible for you to be held by lack any longer in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not possible. Just look at the thing that's been coming against your life and say, not possible in the name of Jesus. Not possible in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 31, he seeing this before spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. God is not leaving any situation in a place of hell, in a place of destruction or corruption. He's not leaving it there. That's not his plan. Hallelujah. Well, my own mistake got me in this place. Welcome to the real world. All of us have made mistakes that got us in a bad situation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't only valid because you were sinless. How many of you can say amen to that? That's not valid because you were sinless, because nobody in this place was sinless. Hallelujah. You are being raised up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 31 again, he seeing this before spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he shed forth this which you do now see and hear. In verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, there's household salvation, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Sounds like our generation. Verse 41, then those that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. Harvest time. Hallelujah. In verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Verse 45, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. In verse 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 29. I'm going to do some reading there. But I'm telling you, God has not been caught off guard by what has taken place. He's always a step ahead. I want you to know right now that even this week, I've been in contact with two young people, and we're in the process of starting Bible studies on campus. One of them is Capel High School. It's a giant 5A public high school, and I'm in contact with a student that's, I'm telling you, this kid is fired up. He's actually had his two brothers died. One of them died of an overdose, and the other one died in a car wreck. And so this guy is hardcore. He's not going to be pushed around anymore. Not that, and I'm not saying that he was, but he definitely is not being pushed around. And he's already communicated with the school principal. He's in the process of getting a Bible study, a Bible club as you call it, started on campus. And what that allows, I did this when I was in high school. What that allows us to do working with him is that he has full rights and authority to use all the facilities on campus, including the school auditorium, the school baseball field. He's allowed to use that and preach the gospel all that he wants to under the guise and under the umbrella of his Bible study there on campus. Well, I've had this idea burning in my spirit for about 20-something years because when I was in the 90s, when I was in high school, I graduated in 95. I just distinctly have this memory. A revival started here in Calvary in 93, just radically impacted my life. And you can't tell me a revival is not for young people. Revival burns brightest in the lives of young people. Oh, yeah. How many times has youth revival shaken this church alone? So revival hit in 93 and just radically touched my life. I was struggling with depression. At that point, I hadn't gotten into, you know, any major sin because I was, thank God, was raised in a Christian family. Not that whether or not, you know, anybody's gotten into sin makes a big difference, because like I said, when you make Jesus the issue, sin is not the issue. But that was the stronghold of my life, was oppression and depression at the time. And anybody who has been through public school in the last 20 years, you know that there is just like a cloud of oppression and heaviness and depression that hovers over these schools. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you here in the last 10 to 20 years went through a public school? Raise your hand. I just want to see. You went through a public school. I mean, can you testify that I'm right? I mean, there may be a few here and there that are just holy and godly, but the majority of them, that's where young people come out of junior high and then they get defiled. They weren't on drugs. They had never done alcohol. They hadn't done all these things, but they go into high school, and after 4 years of going through that, where the devil has a very distinct laid out plan for the young people and the gospel hasn't really been around, then people, the young people come out and they've been defiled by all of these things. And so I started a Bible study when I was in school and just did everything that I knew to do. And I would have killed for somebody to come up to me with this kind of an opportunity. Because we're actually taking our TV cameras in. We're going to make a reality TV show out of the process of these young people putting together a Bible study. We're going to put it on national television. And we're working on going on local television here again, but on a major secular network. Here this year, I'm believing God, we're going to see that happen. Some major things have to come in place, and it started to happen. It's a big deal. It's a big, big vision. But we're going to put this on television and all social media, so these young people, when they are going through this process, they can share it with their friends and say, look, I'm on national television. I mean, how many of you in high school, if you were on national TV, would be sharing it with your friends? I mean, that's a good trash talking point right there in a good way. So we're doing this, and it's going to be awesome. But we're going to culminate with a crusade where we're going to invite all of the young people on the campus and go 3 days on campus and just go full-blown with a Holy Ghost crusade. And I'm going to be up there preaching. These young people are going to be on the platform, and it's going to be awesome. So God's not caught off guard. Hallelujah. But in the 90s, when I was in high school, I distinctly remember walking through the parking lot after having been touched in revival in 93 and seen all the healings and been in the revival services for those 6 weeks in the summer of 93, how that radically changed my life. And I already had the call of God on my life. That was when I was 16 and 17, when revival hit here in 93. But when I was 11 years old, I began to sense the call of God on my life to preach. I remember mowing the yard and envisioning myself preaching like Kenneth Copeland. And I didn't know what that meant, except I just knew that was happening. You know, I mean, most kids that are 11 don't envision themselves, you know, while they're mowing the yard preaching. They're usually envisioning themselves mad at mom for making them mow the yard. And you know, any other kind of thing. Wanting to play Game Boy, which I don't even know if Game Boy was out by then. It was probably coming out right around that time. I would rather be playing Game Boy. But I'm mowing the yard, envisioning myself preaching like Kenneth Copeland. So I felt the call of God. And then when I was 13 years old, I had severe asthma. And growing up as a kid, was in and out of school because of it. And got to the point where, from struggling so hard to breathe, that my back, all of my back and my muscles were all sore from the pain just from trying to, you know, inhale and get oxygen in my lungs. I mean, it's like if you grab a tea straw and just breathe through a tea straw for about an hour or two. It was like the asthma attacks that I used to have. It was horrible. And So we went to a Benny Hinn meeting in 1989, I think. Oh man, how old was I? I was 11 or 12 years old or something like that. In 89, I was born in 70s. That's 12, 13 years old, somewhere in there. We went to a Benny Hinn meeting out in Rockwall, Texas. And my mom was super, super intense. So, you know, we're back at the back doors at that huge church in Rockwall, Texas. And I'm the runner, you know, because I'm 12 years old. I'm faster than my sisters. You can take that to the bank. I may not have been faster than the guys at school, but I am definitely faster than Sarah and Kelly. And my mom is never going to outrun me either. So I'm the runner. So I'm sitting there at the door, you know, because the doors, you know, service starts at 7, the doors open. This is the morning service, probably started at 10, so the doors probably open at 9. So mom had us a hotel over there. And so I'm the runner, and I'm sitting there with a stack of Bibles like mom, Kelly's, and Sarah's Bible. And I'm waiting by the door. And, you know, somebody while we were there, some lady got crushed from the pressure of the doors, you know, people shoving their way through, just trying to run up to the very front. And then, you know, her back got hurt, and then God healed her back. I mean, so but I don't care about that. You know, lady got crushed. I don't care. I'm pressing my way to the front. I mean, I cared about her. That's not what I meant. I'm not like, I don't care about that slowing me down. I'm pressing my way up to the front door, and I'm ready to run. Because, you know, and so the doors open, and I run down the aisle. And then I get here on the second row, and the, you know, back the place is 10,000 people, and it jam packs in like 20 minutes. I mean, it goes from zero to jam packed in like 20 minutes, and I get four seats for us, like here on the third row. Wow. I have all our Bibles laid out, and I turn, and I'm like, "Mom, it's over here," and I turn, and this lady just sat down right on top of our stuff and took our seats. So I had to pick up everything, and then we moved as quick as we could. Yeah, it happens in revival, and we moved as quick as we could. And we went to the back of this, right where these guys are sitting there in the back row of the front section in the middle. So there are people on either side. I mean, we can't really get out. Well, Benny Hinn is just flowing in the Holy Ghost. And he walks down the aisle and then takes a left. And then he sees me. And I'd show you the video, but it's really embarrassing. My hair's all crazy and eighth grade and everything. And he calls me out and says, "I have a call of God on my life. I'm going to be a full-time preacher." So that's my testimony, how God started that work in my heart. And so by the time I'm in high school, after the 93 revival, between the time Benny Hinn called me out and the 93 revival, there really wasn't anything going on anywhere of a revival that I knew of. Thank God for Pastor Bob crying out for a revival in 92. Thank God. Let's just give Pastor a hand clap for that right now. I seriously don't know where I would be right now, Pastor, if it wasn't for that and you standing with the banner of revival all these years in evangelism. I don't know where I would be right now. I don't know what I would have done with the call of God on my life, because that ignited the call of God on my life. Thank God for Pastor crying out for revival in 92. I mean, what would have happened? If we hadn't had that thing, what would have happened? And God's doing it again. Hallelujah. So between the time that Benny Hinn called me out and the time that I got touched in the 93 revival, there was just a dearth. And I wasn't a bad kid or anything and trying to do everything wrong, but I just didn't know. And we were listening to word teaching tapes, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost and prayed in tongues, but I was just struggling with a lot of depression and heaviness. And so I got set free and touched during that revival, and started a Bible study on school campus, and started a Bible study at my parents' house. Because we didn't attend here at Calvary, we attended another church, so we were just rallying. My sister and I were rallying young people, so we started every other Saturday night, and then we went to every Saturday night. So, you know, I'm 17, 16 years old, preaching every Saturday night and holding revival. And I still remember the first time the glory of God hit, and we were playing. I had praise and worship tapes, cassette tapes that I put together, and I'd put an arrangement of songs on. And about the third or fourth time that we met, no, it was probably about the second or third time that we met, during that praise and worship, all of a sudden the power of God came in the living room, and I got so excited, and one or two young people got healed. One young person's leg grew out, prayed for him for healing, and I'm telling you, we saw the glory of God begin to manifest, and I was just all on fire. But I'm getting to the point that in public school, one of the things that marked me so much was just a hatred for the fact that the devil was just dominating the public schools and just... Yeah. totally taken over and running roughshod over all the young people that know nothing about the glory of God, the love of God, and the gospel, and the power of the Spirit of God. I hated that. It was just a vengeance in me. And for all of these years, I've been like, Lord, when am I going to be able to go back after that? And when is that going to open up? Because one time when I was going out in the parking lot after school, there was some music that was playing, and just the hatred that you feel right now when you hear, you know, like you're sharing about the ABC reporter mocking Christians, and you have this hatred against that spirit that just mocks Christianity, you know. And I had that, I felt that, and there was this music playing that was the words were, "Bow down before the one you serve. It's time that you get what you deserve." And it was not a Christian song. This is just a devilish song, and I remember being so mad. Just thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do, but we're going to do something. I just such a vengeance of God burning in my heart about that. Bow down before the one you serve. It's time that you get what you deserve. And I just, because the fire of God just burning, oh Lord, we've got to do something about this. And so I did everything that I could back then, but God has finally given us the okay to go back into the high schools. And I'm sharing, and I mean, it was like you wake up in the morning and you're just behind on everything. I mean, how many of you know what that's like? You do everything God's called you to do, and you see these huge breakthroughs, and you're like, praise God, we're finally caught up. And then He drops the next vision on you, and you're like, dear God, I'm so far behind. Why did I even go to sleep last night? You know, there's so much to do right now. And but we've got two young people that are plugged in. And but this one out in Capel High School is our first public school, and it's going to be really, really awesome. So I just wanted to, I felt led to share that with you. And we're going to have our cameras out, and we're going to be recording all of this stuff. And, you know, we've got video cameras in the school just because the students have a cell phone. We're not going to ask them to get in trouble, but we'll ask them to do anything else that they can within the guidelines and record things. And we're going to hit the devil where it really, really hurts. I want to tell you, when young people get a hold of revival fire, that it spreads like crazy. One thing the Lord told me over the summer, when God was reigniting this and speaking to Riley and me about doing this, was that the young people, the high schools, are the forgotten field, and that God's not happy about it. I want you to notice right now, this is not true here at Calvary Cathedral, but just across the land of the United States of America, when you look at Christianity and everything, all things religion, can you think of anything, anybody, that is really focusing on the high schools for the gospel? No, you can't think of anything, nothing. Everybody is totally consumed with religion. Everybody is totally consumed with the biggest, fastest growing, seeker-sensitive church, with the fog machine light show concert to start off to draw people in, and they won't even receive offerings. In their services, they're so consumed with all of this stuff and pulling members from other churches and all this garbage going on. This is what's happened. And I'm going to tell you a real bold statement right now, but the seeker-sensitive movement that came in the year around the year 2000 that has hit so hard and done all of this stuff has been one of the most destructive things to the nation of the United States of America. Because what it has done is it has got us so consumed with trying to keep up with the Joneses spiritually in the religious world that we've forgotten about real evangelism. I remember back in the 90s, there were a youth evangelist that used to just come through the Calvary Youth Ministry regularly. Deborah Alderman, and just I can remember others. There are three or four, Russ Medill. I mean, I could list off a whole name of a regular youth evangelist that would come through. Nowadays, people don't even know what an evangelist is, and nobody's ever heard of a youth evangelist. So that's the state of what's going on with Christianity among the high schools now. But if you look at what is the devil doing, well, it looks like the devil got front page news today with another mass shooting in the high schools. So I think that this is a really big indication that we're on the right track. Hallelujah. That we are doing the right thing, that we are praying the right thing. Hallelujah. And then it's time that we zero in, because I believe God's going to really explode some things. And I've got a passion in my heart along with youth evangelism. I'm still an evangelist. I'll still travel around and preach in any churches. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm just hungry to preach in churches that really have faith and hunger for revival. If a pastor doesn't have faith and hunger for revival, if I can stir it up, great. But if I can't, I'd rather just be focusing on what God has already called me to do. Because there's too much religious stuff going on. Just let somebody else go and preach in the religious churches. Let them have the offering too. I don't care. Just take it. We got a lot better stuff to do than go dance with a bunch of religious people. You get a louder amen than that for that one. Hallelujah. We got to rescue the perishing here. That's why we're here. Young people are getting shot down like sitting ducks. And I tell you, there are a lot of people that have got the call of God to go reach young people in youth evangelism and go bring revival to young people, but they don't want to do it because it's not climbing the social ladder of the preaching hood the way that they want to, because it's not going to get them the next big senior pastorship wherever they want to go. They don't want to go after the young people because it's not going to have all the reward. Or the devil's going to make very, very sure that all the preachers aren't going to get any kind of a huge, glorious reward by going after the young people. He's going to make sure you get the reward if you go and do this and go and do that and just do all the religious stuff and dance with the religious people. But you want to go after the young people, I'm telling you. That's exactly what we're doing, praise God. And we're going to see a harvest of souls take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know I'm different. That's why I'm standing here at Calvary Cathedral with Pastor Bob for revival. Hallelujah, because we're different together. Hallelujah. Cut from the revival cloth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't spend a whole lot of time sharing things like that, but I just felt the Holy Ghost lean on me to share that. Amen. And to stir you up for that. And I along with this, I have a passion in my heart to see evangelism and the spirit of revival come back together. Now, let me just explain that for just a moment. I'm not going to go long, but I want to see evangelism, you know, because we've seen a lot of outreaches and a lot of evangelism, things that fill stadiums, but it's not had the spirit of revival. We go when we do things, we draw people in and we get the prayer of salvation prayed so quick, and thank God we're rescuing the perishing. We need to keep doing that. So I'm not saying anything negative about that, but I'm saying that in the book of Acts, it was the spirit of revival that fell by the Holy Ghost, and then 3,000 people were brought into the kingdom of God. And that's the thing that we, as we just read, that has a power that nothing can stop, that after the meeting is over with, the revival is not over with. It keeps going, and it keeps growing. So I don't know how God exactly is going to do that, but I'm telling you, the spirit of revival that we feel in here tonight, that has been touching so many people, I declare in the name of Jesus that that is going to mix with evangelism and outreach like never before. And I'm telling you, because it's going to explode in a major, major way here in Calvary Cathedral in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, when the fire of God that's been in here tonight and is in these services Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, when the fire of God that's in here begins to really shake the people that are out there and get them coming in, it turns into a Holy Ghost fire cycle that can't be stopped. And that is what we've got to see take place. Can you say amen tonight? That is what we have got to see take place. Because the people out there, They have heard just the message of salvation, but they have not seen the fire of revival yet. The message of salvation is the most important thing, because we don't want them to go to hell. But for this to perpetuate and grow, they have got to get baptized by the fire of the Holy Spirit. They've got to get doused in the fire of revival and get a taste of what you and I have got a taste of. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that when those two things come together, it's going to ignite like a match in a tank of gasoline, praise God. And just blow this thing wide open. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for that. I see it happening in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is at work in this place right now. The Holy Ghost is at work in this place right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just take a moment there and just begin to pray in other tongues. Right out your mouth. Just take a moment and begin to let the Holy Spirit pray through you right now. The Holy Ghost is at work in this place. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the fires of revival. Thank you, Lord, Rabba Kabasa, for turnaround in the high schools. We declare, prophesy, turn around in the public high schools. In the name of Jesus, we declare, prophesy the fires of revival. Hallelujah. Combining with evangelism and exploding in a move of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do it, do it, do it, Holy Spirit. Do it, Lord. We are hungry. Oh, Ramamamamasankamalamremankasankariya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just read this to you here just real quick. Thank you, Lord. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." Well, we hear a threatening today with the students getting shot. "Grant unto your servants that with all boldness we will speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal." Hallelujah. We got to have boldness to walk in healing like never before. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. "And that signs and wonders be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus." Verse 31, "When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness." Hallelujah. "And the multitude of them that believed was of one heart and soul. Neither said any of them that had aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." In verse 33, "And with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Verse 34, "Neither was there among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man." Hallelujah. And I want to just talk to you just for a moment about the importance of giving in revival. Hallelujah. Revival, worship, and giving. I'm about to receive the offering for Harvest Ministries before we wrap up tonight. But I can't emphasize to you how important it is for there to be revival giving that takes place. Because what God does is so holy. What God does is so awesome. What He has done here tonight is so holy and awesome that it has to evoke a response from the people. It has to evoke a response of worship. That's what I've been talking about for several weeks. That offerings is not just a tip. It's not giving just to help the budget. But an offering that you give is a response of worship. You see, that's one thing that is so wrong about something that's going across the land today, that all the praise and worship has now been turned into a concert with fog machines and lights. And it's more about man. It's run by man more than it's run by the Holy Ghost. And what has taken place is they've made this huge altar of this type of a worship and praise and worship. It's nothing more than a concert anymore, but they've removed the substantial worship out of their service because they won't receive offerings anymore because they say they don't want to offend people. Well, it's not about when people have been touched by the work of the Spirit of God, they are not offended. And giving an offering and giving up to the Lord is an offering of worship. I wish I had about another hour to share this with you right now, but it is so important to respond in worship to the Lord with your giving. I want to tell you right now that when you give to the Lord in worship, that you are giving something back to God in response to revival that God can multiply. You see, when God pours out revival, when He pours out of His Spirit, and I'm going to share more on this in days to come. I know that I am. When God pours out in revival, when He pours out in the Spirit, when we see people that have had cancerous tumors disappear, and like last week, a lady healed of arthritis after years, and people saved. When God pours out His Spirit and His glory, then if there is no offering and a response that we have, we don't give anything back in response to the Lord that He can multiply. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Mary came and gave a huge offering. And what happened immediately? She was giving an offering towards Jesus' burial. It multiplied what she did and multiplied the move of the Spirit of God and immediately went into the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You see, when we respond to what God has done, that's what offering and a worship of an offering of worship and giving is to the Lord. It's a response to what He has done in your heart. And it's so important that we respond to what God has done, because if we don't, we are saying, Lord, I am not thankful for what you've done. Lord, I do not appreciate what you've done. Lord, I do not expect more. Lord, I am not hungry for more. But when you give to the Lord, when you take out of what God has given you and you begin to sow, then we get to a place where God can multiply. See, without revival, there's no such thing as revival that does not have offerings of worship and financial increase. It's impossible. You cannot get that close to the Lord and respond to the Lord in your giving and not be blessed financially. It is impossible. In chapter 2 in the book of Acts, it said that they began to give to everybody as they had need, and everybody's needs were met financially. And in here in chapter 4, the same thing took place. And neither was there among them any that lacked, because people began to give. Now, I want to point out here that as they gave their lands and their houses and sold these things, it's not because somebody said, you need to give your land and your house. Only the Holy Ghost can speak to you what to give. Amen? It's not about ever putting pressure on people to give. That's not how the Lord works. So respond to the Lord tonight. Your offering is an offering of worship that gives God something to multiply. Let God multiply what He's done here in the house tonight. Let God multiply revival. Because when people give in worship like that, revival begins to grow and increase. When people withhold and they don't give, revival begins to wane. But when God moves, when He moves by His Spirit, and we give as a worship to God, and it is a worship from our heart to the heart of God, then revival begins to increase. And of course, as you know, as we are well taught here at Calvary, God multiplies back to you financially too. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So thank you for giving tonight. I'm believing God for increase in revival. I want to see everybody giving as a worship to the Lord tonight and saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And what this says is, Lord, we believe what you're doing here at Calvary Cathedral is going to grow. What this is doing is saying, Lord, we believe what you're going to do in the high schools is going to grow. What's starting? We believe that revival is going to explode in this house, is going to explode in this city as a response to what the Lord is doing tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I cry out to the Holy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I cry out to the Lamb. I bow down to the Worthy One. I bow down. So
Pastor, do you have anything you want me to go ahead and close it out? Hallelujah. He's given away. Amen. Hallelujah. We got another song, Tony? You are dismissed. Thank you so much for coming tonight.